This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good Monday morning. Grain futures on the Board of Trade Friday finished lower across the board, with the exception of wheat. September corn was 3.5 cents lower to 359¾. December corn was 3¼ cents lower to 367¾. March corn was down 3 to 380 on Friday. September beans were down 12¾ to 843¼. November beans were down 12¼ to 856½. January beans were down 11¼ to 871¼. Chicago wheat for September was up 8 cents to 475¼ on Friday. December wheat was up 6 to 477¾. March wheat was up 5¾ to 483½. On to soybean meal, the September contract was down 380 to 289.90. October bean meal was down 390 to 291.80. December bean meal was down 390 also to 295.40. Finally, soybean oil for September was down 20 cents to 28.34. October bean oil was also down 20 to 28.45. December bean oil was also down 20 to 28.70. Now to recap Friday's closing grain futures, corn was down 3 to 4, soybeans were down 11 to 13, wheat was up 6 to 8, soybean meal was down 380 to 390, soybean oil was down 20. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for your cash grain report from Friday.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trend for Prairie View, Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mostly lower on Friday afternoon on China's retaliatory tariffs. The Pro Farmer Crop Tour had corn average yield at 163.3 bushels an acre. Illinois' average yield was 170 bushels an acre, and their comments were late planted in less than ideal conditions. Soybeans average yield of 46.1 bushels an acre. Illinois' average yield was 50 bushels an acre, and their comments were low pod count and a late freeze would be devastating. In northern Western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corner bids mostly 1 to 3 cents lower, 320 to 365. Soybean bids are down 13 to 14 cents at 785 to 809. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corner bids 3 cents lower, 345 to 369. Soybean bids are down 8 to 12 cents at 805 to 827. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 327 to 387. Soybean bids were down 12 to 13 cents at 802 to 837. Wheat bids were up 8 to 11 cents at 436 to 475. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 to 15 cents lower at 821 to 862. Basis is steady to down 3 at 3600 to 5 over the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $277.90 to $294.90, down $3.80 a ton, with basis unchanged at $1,200 to $5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 to 14 cents lower at $3.60 to $3.88, with basis unchanged to down 10 at option to $28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 4 to 7 cents lower at $3.29 to $3.67. Basis was steady to down 3 at 3100 to 7 over the September. Soybeans ended down 12 to 15 cents at 824 to 828, with basis steady to down 3 at 3300 to 2900 in the November. Wheat prices were up 8 cents at 425 to 435, with basis unchanged at 1500 to 40 under the September. East St. Louis barge flowing terminal is placed their producer corn bids 3 to 6 cents lower at 352 to 353. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 14 to 16 cents. Quotations at 852 to 855. Soft wheat closed up 8 cents at 476 to 477. And Milo ended the day down 3 cents at 404 to 405. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 317 to 358. Soybeans at 792 to 827. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 340 to 363. Soybeans at 798 to 842. And in the southern part of the state, contract bids for producers for October and November delivery corn at 309 to 378. Soybeans at 792 to 827. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Your livestock futures from Friday were lower across the board as well. Live cattle for August were down 35 to 104.62. October live cattle were down $1.70 to 99.40. December live cattle were down $1.80 to 104.30. Feeder cattle for August were down $1.05 to 137.35. September feeders were down 317 to 133.25. October feeders were down 295 to 132.52. Finally, lean hogs for October were down $3 to 59.30. December lean hogs were down 277 to 58.77. February hogs were down 222 to 66.35. Now to recap Friday's closing livestock futures. Live cattle were down 35 to $1.80. Feeders were down $1.05 to 317. Lean hogs were down 222 to $3. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound park carcasses traded $1.57 lower, in a range of $55 to $70 with a weighted average carcass price of $64.55. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $1 to $4 lower, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $27 to $30, 4 to 5 weighted $29 to $32. 5 to 6 weighted $33 to $36, and over 600 pounds, $35 to $39. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were $1 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $39 to $47. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts a total $27,500. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at $104 to $110. On address basis at 174 to 178. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 104 to 111. On address basis at 174 to 178. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with a light 180 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $79.65, which is 29 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $237.52, which is $1.76 lower, while select carcasses are $212.71, which is $3.20 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 115,000 compared to 114,000 last week, 114,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 476,000 compared to 454,000 last week and 454,000 one year ago. A recap of the Fairview Sale Barn Special Feeder Cattle Sale for Thursday, August 22nd, had total receipts of $1,220. Most of the offering were weaned with 1 to 3 rounds of shots. Steers, large ones and twos, 30 head, average weight $477, average price at $161.75, 88 head, average weight of $581, average price of $153.43. 42 head of 674 pounders at average price of $149.97. 68 head, average weight of $782, average price of $151.90. 132 head, average weight of $827 with an average price of $147.52. 125 head, average weight of $903, average price of $143.37. And 54 head, average weight of $1,052 at $121.87. Choice heifers, ones and twos, 13 weight, average weight of $370, average price of $146.97. 27 head, average weight of $430 at $152.03. And 31 head, average weight of $519, average price of $146.53. 45 head, average weight of $615, average price of $142.54, and 66 head, average weight of $795 with an average price of $130.04. And 6 bulls, large ones and twos, average weight of $381, $145.71, and 12 head at $440, average weight at average price of $156. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in ag news to start off this last full week of August, The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour analysis was released Friday afternoon and provides a snapshot of variability and concern. Results from the tour estimate the nation's corn yield at 163.3 bushels per acre for a 13.35 billion bushel crop, and soybean yields at 46 bushels per acre for a 3.4 billion bushel crop. Scouts spent last week touring the Midwest corn and soybean fields, finding immature crops still far from harvest. Ben Cash of Boer Trader calls the results concerning.
A little bit worrisome of how far behind this crop is. If you were looking at some of the pictures through Twitter that the scouts were posting, we're talking about very immature crop, very vulnerable to any kind of weather here throughout September.
Given the conditions reported on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, markets should find a rally. However, Cash says small refinery waivers and new news that China would impose more tariffs on U.S. ag have blocked any upsides.
We had a lot of negative news thrown out at it this past week. Waivers issued to 31 new blenders. That was very negative for the corn market. And then late in the week, China put some retaliatory tariffs on U.S. ag products. That's what has basically kept a lid on these grain markets for right now.
The Trump administration has not been on the farmer's side with an agenda of trade that's led to fewer exports to China and the small refinery waivers that are limiting corn demand. However, Cash says there is an upside in the market if the U.S. can make a trade breakthrough with China, Japan, or the European Union, among others.
End users are getting a chance to buy down here. They should definitely take note of this yield tour. Production levels are a little bit worrisome. If we do get a trade deal done, there is a lot of upside potential to these markets if these production numbers do reign true in the end.
Cash says September weather will ultimately be the key to the crop and the market.
Early forecasters here are a little concerned about these nighttime temperatures already dipping into the 50s across the Midwest. They're hitting at September 13th. There's possibly could be a frost freeze event up there in the northern plains. So we need to keep an eye on that. Weather may be the saving grace for some of these ag commodity prices going forward.
Still, 2019 will go down as one of the most challenging years for United States agriculture. And as you heard in the previous story, China has officially announced it will impose an extra 5% tariff on U.S. soybeans starting on September 1st. They'll also add another 10% in duties on other major U.S. crops grown by many American farmers. The latest details come after China vowed last week that it would retaliate if the United States goes through with its original plan to increase tariffs on Chinese goods on September 1st. American Soybean Association President Davy Stevens says the American Soybean Association has strongly requested an end to the tariffs on U.S. soybeans for over a year. The escalation will affect us not only because of the increased tariffs, but for the amount of time it has gone on as well. He says the longevity of the situation means worsening circumstances for soy growers, who still have unsold products from this past season and new crops in the ground yet this season. Stevens adds that prospects are narrowing even more now for sales to China, a market that soy growers have valued, nurtured, and respected for many years. The ASA is asking both parties to step up to the plate and stop the tariffs and find a resolution that doesn't target soy growers trapped in the middle. Real people, including Chinese citizens and the American public, along with soybean growers, are the ones actually feeling this effect of the trade war. TheNationalReview.com says China bought a small amount of U.S. soybeans last week. That purchase happened in spite of promising to boycott U.S. farm products because of deteriorating trade negotiations with Trump. Data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture says Beijing agreed to purchase 9.589 metric tons of U.S. beans for the current marketing year. They also agreed to buy 66,000 metric tons for the following year, which starts on September 1st. An August 5th statement from the Chinese Commerce Ministry said Chinese companies would be boycotting American farm products as a response to the Trump administration's tariffs on Chinese goods. Despite breaking that boycott, China still isn't purchasing nearly as many soybeans as it has in the past. China is the world's largest soybean importer and spent last year giving most of its business to South America. The administration had said it would impose tariffs on another $300 billion in Chinese goods starting September 1st. However, the White House later said it would delay imposing them until December. Moving on now into news here in farm country. Farmers are now seeing payments from the first round of the latest trade aid hitting their mailbox. The Farm Service Agency Director, Richard Fordyce, says the first payments are being mailed out now, and farmers are reporting receiving checks. Round one of the three potential payments is 50% of the overall amount farmers may receive. The USDA expects up to $14.5 billion of payments will be sent to farmers pending on the trade negotiating process. Another 25% of the total would go out later this fall if the Department of Ag deems the payments necessary. The final round, if needed, is planned for sometime around January. These payments are meant to offset the losses stemmed from the Trump trade agenda and trade war with China. Payments range from $15 to $150 per acre, depending on location. Payments are also available for dairy and hog producers under certain reporting parameters. This is the second time the Trump administration has used the market facilitation program since the China trade war began last year. Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News, young and novice hunters are going to have more time to learn the craft and have more opportunities to hunt in Illinois and elsewhere. Governor Pritzker signed a bill on Friday to change the apprentice hunter license. Before, an apprentice hunting license was only good for a year. Now an apprentice can hunt for multiple seasons before getting a full-cost license. Illinois Federation for Outdoor Resources President Scott Bryan says when young folks get to hunt for more than 1 year, they'll stick with it.
And the numbers of 25% when you have a kid that has a one-year or an adult that has a one-year apprentice license to 3 years later, we're retaining 67 to 72% of those hunters that stay in the field, which gets our kids and our adults out from behind the computers and the games and gets them involved in the outdoors.
Apprentices need to go hunting and be supervised with a fully registered hunter that is older than 21. State and federal officials to NASCAR racers will be on hand throughout this week for the 3 days of the Farm Progress Show starting tomorrow. National Events Manager for Farm Progress Matt Youngman indicates Secretary Sonny Perdue will be among the visitors this week, along with Governor Pritzker and a couple of NASCAR drivers.
You know, you get Secretary Perdue, you get, you know, the governor, you get country music stars, you get NASCAR drivers, you get, you know, all these kind of celebrities in our world that come and want to be part of the event. You know, tied to the Silo, the movie Silo being unveiled, Easton Corbin saw the movie and was impressed and kind of taken by it, and so he wrote the song that plays over the closing credits, and he's going to be unveiling that Wednesday at our Farm Progress Hospitality Building, Wednesday at 3:30, and there's no extra charge for it or anything like that. If you're part of the show on Wednesday, you get to see that song played. Alex Bowman is going to run a nationwide ag paint scheme at the Kansas race, and that paint scheme is going to be unveiled here at the show, and he's going to be here on Wednesday to help unveil that. And then Cliff Boyer is going to be here all day on Tuesday. He runs the number 14 DeKalb car. He's going to run that DeKalb paint scheme in Kansas as well. So if you're a NASCAR fan, those guys are a big deal to be here, and so we're super excited about that.
The Farm Progress Show runs tomorrow through Thursday in Decatur. Moving on now into local livestock news, we have the latest Greenville livestock auction results from last Wednesday's sale on the 21st. There were total receipts of 576, 480 in cattle, 96 in sheep and goats. The lower receipts in cattle are due to the latest fire at the Holcomb, Kansas plant of Tyson Foods. Moving on into those results for the cattle, slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $3 higher on the high choice Wednesday and $1 higher on low choice and selects. Holstein steers traded $1 to $2 lower on the high choice and $1 lower on the low choice and selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded steady on the medium large 1 to 2s and unevenly steady on unvaccinated, unweaned to short weaned calves and the medium short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded steady to $2 to $3 higher on better cows and $2 higher on slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded steady to $2 higher. And remember, you can catch the full report from the Greenville Livestock Auction, along with many others, on our website, WSMIRadio.com. Coming up this week in events in the local area, the Certified Food Managers course and exam will be held this Thursday and Friday, August 29th and 30th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. If you need more information on this Food Managers course, you can call the Extension Office at 532-3941. Other local events coming up the first week of September, the Montgomery County Extension will be conducting the yield survey of the area corn crop on Thursday, September 5th, starting at 8 a.m. at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. Volunteers will break into groups and survey crops from across the county to estimate yields and meet back at the Extension Office by noon to share results and enjoy lunch. Extension will sample fields in each of the 19 townships of Montgomery County and will publish the results after they are compiled. Anyone interested in participating or sponsoring this event is asked to contact the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Also happening on Thursday will be Linco Precision's annual pre-fall get-together and fish fry. Andy will be there. They'll also have actual 2018-2019 OPI grain management results and equipment displays. The dinner will consist of fish, french fries, and beans, along with adult beverages and bags games to play. The get-together again will be taking place on Thursday, September 5th at 6 in the evening at Skip Kleinfelter's farm, 5.5 miles south of Nokomis. They like you to RSVP so they can have enough food, and you can do so at the main office number in El Paso at 309-527-6455, Skip at 217-473-2471, Andy at 217-670-4435, or Alan at 618-713-4883. Again, that is the Linco Precision annual pre-fall get-together and fish fry on Thursday, September 5th at 6 at Skip's Farm, 5.5 miles south of Nokomis. Coming up on Saturday, September 7th, will be the annual Montgomery County Farmers Institute. To explain more on this year's event, I talk with Bob Feeney, who's been a volunteer for well over 10 years. Here, Bob explains that the Montgomery County Farmers Institute has gone on every year since 1890 and is one of the last continually operating farmers institutes in the state.
Yes, it has. We've had this for the many 129 years, and when it first started many years ago, farmers used to come in with horses and buggies and bring in their bushels of corn and oats, and at that time I think there was about 40, the average yield per acre was about 40 to 50 bushels per acre. And I remember he was talking yesterday about 170, 180 bushels per acre for the state of Illinois estimated for this year. So pretty significant change. And each of the 102 counties in Illinois used to have a Farmers Institute similar to ours. But from what we understand, we are the only county that continues to have the Farmers Institute as we currently have it today.
And do you think that continues because there's just the continued interest throughout farmers throughout the county, or just more of the effort through the extension to keep this tradition going?
Actually, it's probably more through the extension and the master gardeners who are affiliated with the extension office. And that's why we continue to do it here in Montgomery County. It used to be in some of the other cities that had it, in Irving and Nokomis, but I think they were giving it up because of the people who were coordinating it were getting elderly. And so we took it over then, and we've had it for about 12 or 13 years at the Extension office now. We are the ones who are continuing it right now.
And there's quite a few folks throughout the county that participate in it, but for somebody listening that may not be familiar with what it is, it's essentially just the judging part of a county fair, essentially.
It's very similar to that. Yes, it is. We have seven different classes, the ag sciences, fruits and vegetables, flowers, canned goods, fancy work, culinary, and the youth division. And amongst these seven classes, there are 110 categories. And so there are many, many possibilities entering into whatever your favorite item is, whether it's cooking or whether it's growing vegetables or flowers. You have a lot of people who are quilting, a lot of excellent, beautiful quilts there every year. And we give our prizes are $10 for the first place, $5 for second, and $2 for third place. And we have three different categories that would give $25 in for that's the best harvest basket, for the best quilt, and the best cake. And they get a $25 award versus the others are $10 prizes. We have many, many school-age children were involved in many years ago, too, and we still have a youth group where the school-age children can enter virtually anything they want to that their favorite hobby is, and they can enter, or they like to make things, they can make that, or they can cook things, whatever they like to enter. There's something to be entered in the youth division also.
Bob also touches on when you can bring those entries in for judging.
Bring your entries in on Friday night from 4 till 6, and Saturday morning from 8 to 10. The judging begins at 10, and then anyone can come in and view the exhibits at 1 o'clock. And we appreciate anyone who can come to see what the people in Montgomery County have done. And also during when the visitation, there will be some food and coffee and drinks available for anyone who would like to do that also.
And that's the one unique thing about this. I know in county fairs, it's limited to the folks of the county, and in this situation, that's the same way with this. This is limited to just residents of Montgomery County.
Yes, just residents of Montgomery County are eligible to enter into this, and everything has to be done in the current year, you know, quilting or growing of vegetables, and you have to grow them. If you're growing vegetables or crops, there are things that you had done yourself this year. So otherwise, we don't want things extended over from one year to another. If it was good last year, it'll probably be good again this year for a quilt or something like that. So it's got to be things that have been done this year.
And that would really show a big difference this year, because this year hasn't been too kind for farmers and gardeners alike.
It will be a challenge. So it'll be interesting to see how many entries we get in all those various categories of fruits and vegetables and the corn also, and the grain and ag products. So it'll be interesting to see it would be fun to see what we get. So.
And one unique thing with this institute is you have these nice booklets. You have all the rules and everything else in it, plus all your sponsors throughout it. So if folks need to get a booklet, find a booklet before to get some information, they're all over the place throughout the county.
And virtually all the businesses in the county have booklets available, and we hope that if any of them run out, we have more available that we can supply them with. But or they can always go to the extension office. The extension office has booklets also. So.
Okay, Bob. And besides the booklets, people can also call the extension office. Any other contacts they need to know about if they need to get a hold of somebody?
Well, they can call Kevin Lighthizer or myself if they have any more questions about anything like that. But the extension office is probably the most likely place to get any answers to your questions.
And again, that was Bob Feeney, volunteer for the Montgomery County Farmers Institute, as well as the Montgomery County Master Gardener. And if you have any questions about this year's Montgomery County Farmers Institute, you can call the Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Finally, in another local event that's a few weeks out but still worth mentioning, the Staunton FFA alumni will be sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride on Saturday, September 14th. Registration will begin that morning at 7 a.m. Coffee, juice, water, and donuts will be available. The ride will leave at 8 a.m. with a quick driver's meeting before an opening ceremony. The ride will then make a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be put on display and lunch can be purchased at Phil, Chet, and Rose's Cafe. Orders for lunch will be taken at the registration that morning, so it will be ready upon the arrival of the tractors. Passengers are also told that they're not to ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. You may not ride on fender mounts. And if you have any questions about this year's Staunton FFA alumni tractor drive, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435 or Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. And that just about wraps it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news, just like the Staunton FFA alumni story that was emailed to me, you can also email your news to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Monday morning, August 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.